Morning comes from Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. For those who are visiting, we have been going through the Gospel of Mark this year, and from the beginning until the end, and we've got sidetracked with various things coming up from time to time, vacations and different things, and this morning we're going back into the Gospel of Mark, and we've made it all the way now till chapter 11. Let us hear the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word from Mark 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethage and Bethany in the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went out and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, whilst others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. That's the reading of God's word. The book of Mark is divided into two main sections. And we saw in the first half that when Jesus came, he did his miracles and he got much attention. He showed the demonstration of his power by walking on the sea and all the various things that he did. And we saw in the first part of that section that he went to the Jews first, and when they rejected him, he went to the Gentiles. And in the second half of the gospel, we started with Peter's confession, in which Peter was the first one in the gospel to confess that Jesus was the Christ, that Jesus was the Son of God. But as we have seen in these last few chapters, the people didn't really know who Jesus was. They saw him as a Messiah, but they did not see him as the kind of Savior that he would be. They did not see him as someone who was coming to suffer and to die and to go to a cross. They saw him as someone who would be a military leader, who would bring them glory and honor and power for the Jewish nation. They saw Jesus as someone who would come and help them rule the world. But we have been learning that it is not easy to follow Christ. We have been learning that to follow Jesus to that cross, as these people have been finding out, is not an easy thing to do, because the people did not like Jesus. The Jewish leaders had rejected him, and to follow Jesus to the cross is the way of suffering. But Bartimaeus, at the end of chapter 10, we saw new, different. Bartimaeus came and he saw Jesus along the road and he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped, called him. He stood up on his feet and throwing his cloak aside, the blind man said to Jesus, "Rabbi, I want to see." And Jesus let him see. This blind man saw what the people did not see. He saw that Jesus was not coming only to suffer. He saw that Jesus was not coming as a military leader. He saw Jesus as coming as his Savior. This blind man was the outcast. This blind man needed Jesus. This blind man had no hope in the world. As he was blind, he was cursed for his blindness. Everyone saw it, that he was a sinner, and Jesus saved him. And now, after Jesus has gone through Galilee, after we have had this instruction time, they are coming to Jerusalem, the last part of the Gospel of Mark. The triumphal entry is the beginning of the end. In the days before Jesus, the Roman army general came into the land of Judah. He came into Jerusalem after he had conquered the land. And he was the military leader of the Roman army, came riding in on a mighty horse. This horse he rode in a matter of wealth, of power, and of showing all of his splendor and all of his glory. This is how the rabbis, the Jewish teachers, always imagined that Jesus, or that the Son of God, or that the Messiah was going to come into the land. He would come into the land as a military leader with his military helmet on, as the leader of the conquering army. But in our story today, we are going to see that the power in this passage, the power in this triumphal entry, is not as we would perceive from a human perspective. The power is not in Jesus as a military leader, but the power is in the fulfillment of prophecy. Turn to Isaiah 29. Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. We're going to do some jumping around today, and I hope you'll be able to follow. Isaiah 29, the verses 18 to 19. Isaiah 29, verses 18 to 19. And this is written hundreds of years before Jesus rode that colt. He's writing here about the day of the Lord, and it says, "In that day the deaf will hear the words of the scroll, and out of the gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind will see. Once more the humble will rejoice in the Lord, the needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." Isaiah is writing about a day when there will be a Savior who will come, and on that day the deaf will hear, and it says the blind will see. And we have just had the healing of a blind man, blind Bartimaeus, he is seeing. And it says that the humble will rejoice. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The people who need a Savior, the people who love Christ, the people who have a need, who do not find salvation in themselves, are the people who are going to rejoice. And so back in Mark, it tells us that they approached Jerusalem. And as they came to Bethage and to Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples. And we know from that description that they are about ready to enter Jerusalem. All through the way, Jesus has gone to Galilee, he's been to Jericho, he's been to all these places, and now he is on the outskirts of Jerusalem. This is where his focus has been from the beginning of his ministry. It is almost like he is in Everett, Renton, and Bellevue. He is on the outskirts of the city, he is on the outskirts of Seattle. And he is getting ready to enter. And we know that the Mount of Olives, of which he is standing on, was a place that was prophesied, that at this place, revelation, future revelation of God's glory would take place. So here he comes, and the first thing he says to his disciples, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden." Turn with me to Genesis 49. Genesis chapter 49, all the way to the first book in the Bible. Genesis 49. And in Genesis 49, you'll see there that Jacob is blessing his sons. Jacob has lived his life. He has his wife of Leah and of Rachel, and he has been the father of 12 children. He has gone to Egypt. Joseph is the head of Egypt. And Jacob is blessing his sons. This is the final blessing before he dies. And in chapter 49, verse 10. Look what it says. "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet." Jacob is prophesying that Judah, his son, will always have a son and a descendant on the throne of Israel, or the throne of Judah, forever. And we know that this came true, because all throughout the history of Israel and the history of Judah, there was always one from the line of Judah, from the line of David, upon that throne. And so here comes the ruler, and it goes on to say that until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. And if you look in a footnote, I'm not sure what translation you have, but it says F there in chapter 10, and F tells us that, "or until Shiloh comes," which is the Hebrew translation. Shiloh, or until the one whom tribute belongs. Shiloh is peace. Shiloh is the one who comes. to whom it belongs. And so here is a prophecy that Judah is going to have someone on the throne forever until one who comes who will bring peace. And it goes on to say, and the obedience of the nations is his. The people will not be obedient on their own, but they will be obedient by the one who comes to whom it belongs. And then look at verse 11. It tells us that he will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes. This prophecy is saying that when this person comes, this Shiloh, when the obedience of the nations is his, he will tether his donkey. There will be a donkey and a colt of which Jesus has just called for. And it goes on to say that he will wash his garments in wine, his robes with the blood of grapes. It is this king, this ruler, who will make the great sacrifice, and he will come in riding on a colt. And here we see in Mark 11, verse 2, that the disciples are sent out to go to the village, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Here we see again the fulfillment of a prophecy, of an Old Testament prophecy. God and his inspired word of God has taken something written in Genesis, and we are seeing the connection all the way to Mark, all the way to what Jesus has done. And he asks for a colt which has never been ridden. And we know that when there is an animal in the Old Testament that has never been ridden, that animal is designated for sacred purposes. Oftentimes an animal would be dedicated to the temple or to the priest, and it would be an animal which was never been used or never been ridden, and that was done for something sacred which is going to happen. And so we go on. Jesus tells them to go and get the colt, and they are to untie it and to bring it here. And in verse 3 it tells us that if anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, what are you doing untying that colt? And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And when they had brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus has made the prophecy that there will be a colt there, and sure enough, the disciples go, and they find a colt, and the people ask him, why do you need this? And they said to tell them that the Lord needs it, and they did, and here is that colt. And look what those people are doing. In verse 8, it tells us that the people spread their cloaks on the road. Now, what does that mean? They spread their cloaks on the road. Well, if you turn to 2 Kings 9, verse 13, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 13, we see something going on when Jehu was declared king. The people came in 2 Kings 9, verse 13, and it says, they hurried and took their cloaks and spread them under him on the bare steps. Then they blew the trumpet and shouted, Jehu is king. The people are spreading their cloaks because they see Jesus as a king. They see that he is coming down on this colt, and they begin to spread their cloaks upon the road, and here they come. And then it tells us that while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Now, why would they take branches? Why would they spread them around? Oh, well, the answer to that is found in Leviticus 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 23. And we see in Leviticus 23, it tells us about the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles was a feast in which the Israelites would commemorate their leaving the land of Egypt. They left the land of Egypt, and they had to live in shelters out in the desert as they wandered in the desert for 40 years going to the Promised Land. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, these people are living in these shelters, and they would commemorate that. They would build a shelter, and they would put leaves above for the roof, and they would live in those shelters for a week or however long the feast would last, and that would commemorate how God had delivered them from the land of slavery. Now look at Leviticus 23, verse 40, it tells us, on the first day you are to take choice fruit from the trees, and palm fronds, leafy branches, and poplars, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. These people see Jesus not only as someone as a king by spreading their cloaks, but they also see him as a savior. To commemorate their deliverance from the land of slavery, they had the palm branches. And now they are spreading these palm branches they had cut in the fields before Jesus. And now we see in verse 9, those who went ahead and those who had followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Hosanna means save us. They see Jesus coming. They have spread out their cloaks. They have laid their branches and they are shouting, "Hosanna!" They are shouting, "Save us!" And it goes on, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." This is a quote from a Hallel psalm. A Hallel psalm is a psalm of praise to God. The fifth book of the Psalms always had a section in which after the Feast of Tabernacles, after the Feast of Passover, the priest would read from the Hallel Psalms. And this particular quotation is taken from Psalm 118. If you look at Psalm 118, the Hallel Psalms are Psalms 115 through 118. And in Psalm 118, verses 25 to 26, we read, "O Lord, save us," which is Hosanna. "O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." This psalm was read after the Passover, or after the Feast of Tabernacles, because they were calling out for the one who would save them. They were pointing with these feasts ahead to Christ, to the one who would come, to the one who would save them. And they're crying out to God, "O Lord, save us." And whenever the priest would say Hosanna at the Feast of Tabernacles, the people would take the palm branches and they would shake them. And they would shake them and they would show that they are pointing ahead to the one who would save them. And so here we see in this psalm, all of these things, or in Mark chapter 11, all of these things coming together. The spreading of the cloaks to designate the king, the palm branches being laid out, showing the saving from the land of slavery. And then we see a direct quote from the psalm which is read every time that they celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. "Hosanna, save us! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And it is known that whenever that quote was read from that particular psalm, it was always known that the rabbis were pointing that ahead to their Messiah. And these people are no different. Because look at verse 10. "Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Blessed is the coming of our kingdom of our father David. They have recognized that Jesus is bringing in this kingdom that these Jews are always talking about. These Jews are talking about an earthly kingdom. They want to have a kingdom in which they will have rulers on the throne of Israel, rulers who will rule the world. They are looking for a Messiah who will come and lead the kingdom of Israel again to be a kingdom like David. And now here comes Jesus, not on a royal horse. Here comes Jesus upon a colt. Here comes Jesus, and the people, not the rabbis, not the Jewish leaders, are out there recognizing him. But you see people bringing their cloaks and putting them out because they recognize him as a king. They see him also as a savior because they are throwing the palm branches before him. And they are shouting, "Hosanna, save us." These pilgrims are seeing Jesus as their savior. They're seeing Jesus as their only hope. And not only that, but they see him as the one bringing in the kingdom of their father David. They see Jesus as the one who is fulfilling the Old Testament. They are seeing what the scribes and the Pharisees who are teaching the New Testament aren't seeing. And not only that, look what they say in the last line. "Hosanna in the highest." They recognize that Jesus is the Hosanna, the Savior in the highest. He is going to save them for God. He will bring them into God's kingdom. He will save them. They recognize that the sacrifice of their sins will be made not upon this earth as they always see in the temple, but the sacrifice will be made in heaven. And so here these street pilgrims, these people who need a Savior, as we read in the earlier psalm, they are the ones who recognize Him. They are the ones who are shouting, "Hosanna the highest." But you will notice who is not there. You do not see the scribes. You do not see the Pharisees. You do not see the teachers of the law. They do not recognize Jesus. They do not recognize Him as the one who brings in this heavenly kingdom, not the earthly kingdom. They are the ones plotting to destroy Him. And we know that the rabbis and the people were always embarrassed about one particular text in the Bible. And you've got to see this text to understand this passage today. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Zechariah 9, verse 9. This, for the rabbis, was the messianic text. Zechariah 9, verse 9. And in Zechariah 9, verse 9, we read, "Great, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Here comes Christ coming into the kingdom, and He is fulfilling this text. And the Jewish rabbis were always one who said, how can a king come on a donkey? How can a king come on a colt? They looked at the other passages in which Jesus was coming in His second coming on the clouds of heaven. They were waiting for a mighty warrior to come, and they always had a difficult time dealing with this particular passage. Yet the people have shouted, the people have rejoiced, just as Zechariah has predicted. And notice what it says in Zechariah. "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation." Do you remember the passage in Genesis? "And the obedience of the nations will be His." This king, His character is not caught up in His military helmet. His character is not caught up in what kind of horse He is riding. His character is caught up in His righteousness and in the obedience of the nations being upon Him, and in His having salvation. He comes not with His helmet on, but as Zechariah says, gentle and riding on a donkey. And so, Jesus has come, and He is fulfilling the Old Testament. He is taking all of these scripture passages which were written in the Old Testament, and He is fulfilling them in this one initiative. You will notice that it is Jesus who tells the disciples to go and get the colt. It is Jesus who is ready to go to Jerusalem. It is the people who respond. The pilgrims, the ones who need a Savior, are the ones who call to them. And now in verse 11 we read that Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, He went out to Bethany with the 12. Jesus has gone to Jerusalem, and He looks at the temple. And the temple, Jesus knows, was pointing to Him. All the sacrifices made there, everything that was done in that temple was supposed to point to Christ. And when He goes to that temple, He is going to inspect that temple. And in the next passage, we are going to see what He saw. But at this particular point, He looks at the temple, and He goes back to Bethany with the 12, and we have the quiet before the storm. Because we know what is going to happen immediately after this. He will cleanse the temple. They will be offended by this, and they will plot to kill Him, and our story will thicken. Our plot will thicken, and He will go, and He will be crucified and die and rise again. So do you see the picture of our text this morning? Jesus is coming, and He is showing the nature of His kingdom. The nature of His kingdom is not one of military power. It is not one of military strength. This kingdom is not a kingdom full of riches. This heavenly kingdom is a kingdom of grace. It is for the pilgrims. It is for those who need a Savior. It is for the street people. It is for the poorest. It is for the most despised. Where are you in our passage? Do you recognize Jesus as the street people do? That He is a Savior? That you need Him as your Lord? That you're waiting for Him? Or do you look at Jesus? Are you waiting for Him as the scribes did? The scribes and the Pharisees and the people were waiting for Jesus to come as a military leader. Sometimes you hear people and they'll say, well, this person did this to me way back then, and those people treated me like this way back then. And someday when Christ comes back, He is going to give revenge. The revenge of what they have done to me will be upon that person. Is that how you're waiting for Jesus? You know, there's a lot of people like that out there. They look at what others have done to them, and they can't wait till Christ comes back, because then those people are going to face the judgment that they deserve. They are like the scribes. They are waiting for Jesus to come back as a warrior. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees were all thinking of. This Roman army has come. They have conquered our kingdom. When our Savior comes, He will lead the army and He will destroy them, and we will be free, and everything will be done for us because we are so righteous, because we are so right. That is where they are coming from. And that was the nature of the Savior they were waiting for. But here comes Christ, humble on a donkey. And the people are shouting His name. They are looking at Him not as somebody who is going to execute judgment on their enemies, not as somebody who is going to destroy others, but they look at Him as their Savior. They know that they are sinners. When they think of Christ, they don't think of judgment. They think of being saved. And so when they see Him, they shout, "Hosanna, save us! Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." That is your call as you stand along the road, as you see Jesus coming on a colt, on His way to the cross for you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank You for the triumphal entry. Because, Father, we know that this triumphal entry is not just something that happened a long time ago, but this triumphal entry was done for us. Jesus comes and shows who He is. All along, Father, as we have been studying this gospel, people have come to You, blind men, rich men, different ones, trying to earn their salvation in themselves. And You have shown them that Jesus came not to execute His judgment, but He came, Lord, to save sinners. And Lord, we pray that we will look to Christ as our Savior, as the one who has saved us from our sins, not one who will judge others, not one who will destroy others. Father, help us to focus upon this and not upon what happens to others. Lord, we thank You for Christ. We thank You for His kingdom. And may this heavenly kingdom belong to us all of our lives. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.